I'm hearing voices again, and they're telling me, keep spitting these out, Jesse. I want to. And it would be more fun doing these if I had like some really good green weed. You know, that's my idea of like a tech PR company, and creating, quality consumer products, like while smoking weed all day. You know, if I ever have employees or collaborators, it's going to be like a rule. Like, you have to test positive for like over 10% THC before you're allowed to come to work. Like, we're going to piss test you, motherfucker. And if your shit's not over, if your piss ain't over like 10%, like, go home. We're sanctioning you. You know, this whole piss test thing, like, we caught him with like a nanogram of THC. You know, Nick Diaz, we're not going to let him fight. Yeah, I like Nick Diaz. I follow the UFC. I'm a big fight fan. The only sport I will watch is like combat sports, like football and baseball and soccer, like these soccer guys, you know, like Ronaldo, you know, it's not really my thing. I hope there's like one or two, you know, I will give like one police officer credit. Okay. I was in Santa Rita and we're walking and we're like, somehow like one bit of like human dialogue was exchanged between us. And she was like, the only sport I watch is UFC. And I was like, amen, sister, fuck this like football shit. You know, if you're going to get injured, like doing sports, like make it like fighting, please. You know, like ripping your ACL apart in like a football match, you know, is like, I don't know. It doesn't seem intelligent to me. But who am I? Maybe I'm like a bigoted homophobe. The 49ers, you know, like that guy who was getting hit on in the locker room by like some gay pride advocate in the NFL. You know, the Niners had to make like a 10,000 press releases like, we condemn him in the most for homophobia, for not wanting to be hit on in the showers by an SF homosexual football player. We condemn his actions, and to compensate the LGBTQ community, we're going to make the 49ers uniforms all pink. Hate crimes. LGBTQ is always innocent. Homosexual men are always innocent of sexual harassment of straight men. Homosexuals do not respect heterosexual preference. Not in the slightest bit. They're the most fascist, little AIDS-infested vermin you could ever have the displeasure of discoursing with. Example. I was in WeWork on Broadway, Oakland, okay? I was trying to build the tech business. I'd already worked with two African-Americans and a female to build my technology brand, okay? So we had, like, trademarks, and I already had, like, plenty of experience in technology, and I was renting a hot desk there. And I would go in there in the evening, and I did not even hit on, like, one female, okay? I was like, yeah, I saw women walking around there in their, like, short skirts, and I'm human, you know? I have some sex, at least I had some, you know, it's debatable now. But I didn't even like talk to women. I tried to pitch my products, you know, I'd like photocopy like pages, like Brainstorm Pro. It can help like every last business renting space here to devise better branding and you know, headlines for like promotional blasts. But, you know, walk up to some females and like try to pitch them something at like fair market value in one of those feminist hellholes. And they're going to like report to you, you know, because it's females are the future. That's the slogan. It's International Women's Day. Let's celebrate it on the private discussion board where you'll get flagged for spam if you even try to like tell about your product with like more than four posts. So I did try talking to like one or two males there. There was like one guy doing a radio show. Like a black guy. I think he was from Seattle. And you know, we ping some ideas around. I am capable of market research. And I always talk to people whenever I can. Because it's hard effing work. I'll tell you more about that later. Like, I did meet a Muslim guy in jail who told me about F-35 cables, like decapitating like a sailor. and like catapulting his body overboard off the tanker. Sorry, not a tanker. What's it called? An aircraft carrier into like the ocean and getting eaten by sharks. You know, so I don't claim to have been there, done that. You know, I'm not like a super fucking warrior. You know, there's guys who've like done way more like heavy shit in military than I could, you know. But, you know, I can hear like a real life story from somebody who has experience and try to apply it. You know, also things like Vietnam veterans telling me like the two-way radio is the big gun, you know, calling in like napalm strikes. So if a two-way radio is a big gun, how about like an iPhone and an email, right? But anyway, back to WeWork. So I was trying to make friends. You know, not even, you know, there are no friends in the business world. You can't even shake anybody's hand today. You know, you can maybe do like a fist bump or like a forearm bump, but you know, don't even bother shaking anyone's hand or a konnichiwa bow. Don't touch anybody because you can catch COVID and wear your mask. And so what was I going to say? So I was talking with Omar. Okay. He was like an ex New York Times journalist. Okay. Like a Muslim homosexual, or an Arab homosexual, whatever. And we were talking and I wanted to do business. I was trying to find people to like collaborate with because you can't do this stuff on your own. You can, it's a lot, hell of a lot harder. You cannot do it all on your own, but you have to do, you know, most of it on your own. If you want to, you know, even try to keep true to any of your like original vision. And we were arguing about like, we finally broke down into an argument over like homosexuality. And he was starting to quote like Keynesian philosophy, like that sicko fucking AIDS promoter. I think it was from the 70s. And he was telling me, he was like, every last man is bisexual. It's been proven by Kinesi, whoever the fuck, what I can't remember his name, and you can look it up. You know, I know you're not too illiterate to do a Google search. And I was like, no, I'm not bi-curious. No, I'm really not. And he kept insisting, like, no, it's insane statistic. But he had the nerve to say, I'm 100% homosexual, but all men are bisexual. That's how sleazy, disgusting, and intellectually dishonest homosexuals are. So yeah, we were arguing and like it started out as a face-to-face conversation. Like I would go and get my coffee because like WeWork had like all the coffee you can drink and like access to like copy machines and like screens, like so you could like, you know, work on your video presentations. And I was doing all that stuff. And yeah, I might have stayed like an extra 30 minutes at my hot desk when the limit was supposed to be 2 hours. You know, I was a big lawbreaker, you know, like unlike the other places that were leaving like, you know, used beer bottles and condoms around and letting homeless people in. I was real, you know, breaking the terms of service there. I may have even fell asleep in one of the rooms overnight, you know. Like trying to just keep a low profile because I'm a night owl, you know, I'm a lone wolf and a night owl. I'm not part of the sheeple or pack. I'm not even a sheepdog. So our verbal conversation like kind of devolved into like pinging emails back and forth. And so like I kept going up with the argument, you know, I was like, the only thing I ever had up my ass was like my mother's finger when I had like some sort of an, you know, rash when I was younger, and I did not even like that. You know, and he kept trying to convince me otherwise. You know, I don't even want to go into the details, it's so disgusting. But you know, eventually I just had to like, you know, end the conversation. Like it's not going anywhere. It's like brick wall, you know, with these people. And yeah, so shortly after that they terminated my hot desk account. I don't know if that was a reason for like having some opinion against like the merits of getting AIDS and HIV and promoting like an utterly disgusting, worthless, dead-end way of life. But they terminated my account and I was out on the streets. And not out on the streets, but, you know, I didn't have a workspace anymore. Also, while I was at WeWork, I talked to a quote-unquote rabbi. So this rabbi, He was a real rebel rabbi. He had a tattoo, like a heavy metal tattoo. And it helps to have somebody to talk to. You know, when you have no one to talk to, and like nobody accepts your ideas, like, you know, you want like at least one other person on earth who like agrees with you, but it's really hard to find them. And so anyway, I talked to this rabbi, you know, and he was like, I don't know if he's a psychologist. He was like a counselor. You know, all these rabbis are also like, you know, social workers and counselors and advisors to the community. And so we started talking and I told him how I really felt about Israel. Like my real opinions on Israel had to do with like the Sinai Desert, because like that's a whole hell of a lot of land, right? That they won in that war way back. I think it was like 1967. They like fucking wiped out the Egyptian Air Force. They didn't even get off the runway. You know, those pilots, those Israeli IAF pilots, like flew in. You know, they had to make a decision and they flew in and they were smart. They like dropped bombs on the runway and the planes couldn't start. And then they just like, you know, flew through the hangars and strafed them. And that was that. So, yeah, I'm not a heroic, you know, soldier, but I am literate and I've read military history. I don't know what's fake and what's true. I don't claim to, but that kind of sounds like an intelligent strategy. You know, for like cost-effective, like military strategy. So I was like talking about the Sinai Desert. Like, that sounds cool. Like, I wish I could have like traveled there when I was in Israel and like, you know, go scuba diving at places like Dahab and Sharm El Sheikh. I even did market research. I was doing market research with an Egyptian guy. Mohammed Sharif. I was talking with Mohammed Sharif and he's like, yeah, I agree with you, buddy. Let's start like a mining corporation in the desert or something, you know, because that was my theory on the ancient world, that like, you know, all that wealth came from like mining operations in the desert there. And, you know, all the Egyptian empire and all of ancient Israel, you know, it was probably based a lot around like mining and not just diamonds, like, you know, tacky diamonds, but like metals. Gold, silver, copper. I wanted to get into copper mining. I think copper is like a great, it's an undervalued metal. Yeah, copper mining, because it has like industrial uses and, you know, there's something potentially mystical about copper. So I was interested in like a copper currency because I'm into economics. I, you know, it's the only course I ever got an A- in my life. Like everything else, like D, C, B, UCSB economics, A-. And that chick TA, you know, she didn't look at me like a dipshit, like the creative writing courses people. The only course at UCSB I did well in was economics. So yeah, in Israel, I was trying to like find some identity, right? I had like a major identity crisis because I wanted like to create like something good in culture, you know, like express how I really feel somehow. And Israeli music is like really fucking lame. A lot of it anyway. There's a few good like Israeli singers, like I would go to the record store, but I had some other white trash homosexual geek at the record store in Jerusalem, like just treating like a paying customer, like just outrageous disrespect of someone who was patronizing his business. I won't even go into the details. He was such a faggot. What's his name? Gally at the record shop in Jerusalem. Yeah, Israeli music. So like, I was into Ofer Hazar. She was like the only female like pop star who ever like broke any ground in pop culture, and she died of AIDS. You know, she was a homosexual too. Everybody knows it. She was a homosexual and she died of AIDS. From was it homosexual? No, her husband. That's right. Her husband was a junkie. Her husband was a junkie heroin user who gave her AIDS. So that's the story the Israeli media prints, because journalists always tell the truth with fair and balanced reporting. So yeah, things like copper, and you know, I was studying like Israeli martial arts, like a little Krav Maga, and I even tried a quote unquote biblical martial art. I don't even want to give them any publicity. Look, it taught me like one thing at most, but it was horseshit. Not practical. What was I going to say? So copper, copper mining. I wanted to get in. I wanted to, you know, I want to do honest business. I don't want to incur legal liability. You know, I'm not even into like having a monopoly. Like, why defend like antitrust litigation? You know, libertarian economics. Like, there's enough abundance out there to like make something, and you know, not, you know. It's too much energy trying to defend, like, intellectual property interest, you know, like hiring lawyers and stuff. You know, if you can duck the lawyers and the trademark office, it's definitely a good idea strategically. Racism. Pure racism. And bigotry. Well, it's a natural human trait, I'll say that much. I'm racist and bigoted, too. A little bit, you know, but Genghis Khan in the Mongol Empire was a meritocracy, you know, at least to like some great extent. Like, he wasn't a geek, you know. If somebody had a good invention or innovation, it didn't matter if they were a chink, you know, he would like bring them in. You know, Genghis Khan, I read a story, he wanted like the secrets of immortality. And, you know, so he found, like, the most famous, like, Chinese doctor and brought him up. And the doctor was like, it's just not possible, dude. And he was like, this guy knows what he's talking about. I'll make him, like, my vizier. So, like, meritocracy is a cool thing, you know? Like, an Asian guy, Genghis Khan was Asian, and he had a big empire. And, you know, Whitey can't handle it. Musashi was a great swordsman, and he could fucking, you know, cut the head off of those fucking, like, Christian knights with their swords, and then I like, can't handle it, you know, they're bigoted, like, Anglos have, like, an issue, like, accepting that other cultures, like, contribute things, at least a lot of them. I don't think the Founding Fathers were quite that bigoted. I think they, you know, understood, and, like, you want to draw on, like, as many, like, you know, cultures as possible, and take wisdom where you can find it. Chinks, Chinese, worth reading. My nickname, I studied Chinese in college. That was the other thing I studied. I was like, there were a number of reasons I wanted to do it, but I was like hip to it. I was like, China is going to be like the future, at least in like weapons stuff. Like, you know, those guys, Mao Zedong knew that political power grows out of the barrel of a gun. He may have been a communist, but he wasn't deluded about like how political power actually works. And so my nickname was Gao Jiansheng, and I had like a Chinese teacher. She was kind of hot. You know, there's a few decent looking Chinese women, but I had a Chinese girlfriend. I'm not even going to say her name, but it didn't work out. You know, she was also very westernized. What was I going to say? Chinese technology, and weapons, and Mongolian technology and weapons, the Mongolian yurt, you know, it might've been a factor in like conquering the Middle East, like being able to like wheel those things around and like, you know, set up camps, but, you know, the American military and the Israeli military, they prefer those like square fucking do-to-do-to-do trumpet tents, you know. You can't invest in anything that's not made by Anglos. Last topic I'm going to bring up before this video. General Patton. I actually went to prom with his granddaughter. Her name's Catherine. She was a pretty good-looking girl. She wasn't the ugliest girl in our class. And I'm surprised she said yes. I didn't have a prom date, and it was, like, last second, and I called her up. I was, like, shaking, and I was like, Catherine, will you go to the prom with me? And she was like, yeah, why not? You know, I did not get asked in high school. Like, it just wasn't happening for me. It was, like, I won't give details, but there was very, very minimal, like, sexual, you know, interactions going on with me at Head Royce in Oakland. But, yeah, I went to the prom with General Patton's granddaughter. I thought she was a pretty cool girl. I don't remember when she came to our school. I don't think she started in kindergarten. It was probably like around like third or fifth grade. But, Patton, you know, he was a American soldier in World War II. And, you know, I read his quotes and, you know, let's just say I'm neutral. Like, I think they like deep sixed him too, you know, like the Washington politicians, because he had like some insight into like military spending and stuff. And you know, they didn't want him like, you know, like doing anything in private business. I'm going to wrap this up. I don't have my Neuralink yet, or my brain chip, and I don't want to overload you.